This is Doug Miller. Do you like history? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time this side of eternity and heaven and the coming of the Lord with this book in hand. And we are beginning a new book today, finished up the book of Philippians last week, and we are going to take up now the book of Acts, the history of the early church. And I think you will find this just absolutely fascinating and interesting. And, you know, if you've never really read the book of Acts, why, it's time you read it. And if you have read it, no matter how many times you have read it, you will love it. Just reading it and going through it again, line by line, verse by verse. And so come along, bring your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 1, verse 1, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists for the purpose of seeing this word go out to as many as we can get it to, as far out as we can get it. And as an organization of this type, we are utterly and always dependent upon our listeners for prayers and support. I beg you, pray for us. Tell others about us. Encourage people to listen. It's absolutely critical that you do this, because we have no advertising budget. We're not going to have. We depend strictly on our listeners. Now, also, we'd love to hear from you. Always a delight to get letters. If it's nothing more than two or three words, we are here. Or, you know, write on, keep it up. Or let me ask you why you said so-and-so. I'm not sure I agree with that. We like those kind, too. I don't mind getting those as long as it's done in the right spirit. Love to answer any questions that you have. Provide the recordings of these broadcasts absolutely free, no strings attached, and I mean that. Our writing and mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Also like to invite you to go online, if you're online and hooked up to the net, and look us up on our webpage, www.dialogueministries, all small letters, all one word, .org, not .com, that won't get us, .org, okay, www.dialogueministries.org. All right, into the Word of God now. Enough of the preliminaries. We have here the book of Acts, or in its fuller title, The Acts of the Apostles. And someone said it ought to be called The Acts of the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, Acts will do. And what a fantastic, wonderful, fascinating, encouraging book this is. I don't know about you, but I've always been a history buff. I love history. I love to read history and biography and to learn about events that I don't know anything about. I just finished up reading a history of the 1916 Easter Rebellion in Dublin. And, the Irish rebelled against the British, and the British rewarded them for their efforts by shooting a bunch of them before firing squads. Without the benefit of a trial, I may add, for all of you who are British, no offense intended, but, you know, I'm of Irish ancestry, so I like to remind the British of that from time to time. Nevertheless, Acts. Wonderful history. And Acts is the source of a lot of error. A lot of false teaching has come out of the book of Acts. And, of course, some of you are saying, well, what do you mean false teaching, Miller? You really mean they disagree with you. Well, yeah. Yeah, they disagree with me. And of course, I disagree with them. But I'll tell you what, dude, just come along and follow along, and let's see what I say, and I'll see whether or not you disagree with me. But I reiterate, a lot of false and bad teaching has come out of the book of Acts, just like out of the book of Hebrews, which we went through together, several months back, you know. Now, let me tell you something. Acts is a transitional book. Transitional in this sense. We are moving out of one dispensation into another. Now, for you non-dispensationalists out there, you cannot avoid this. Prior to the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, things were not the same on this earth, and God was not dealing with men the way he is dealing with them now and has been dealing with them since the coming of the Holy Spirit. That is just, that's simply all there is to it. And if you think that God is dealing with the church and with Gentiles today, as he did with Israel back in the days in the wilderness and even after they got in the land and when the temple worship was established, if you think that, you've got another think coming. And you need to understand, if you think that, then you have no idea at all why Peter says, as we're going to see him saying in the 15th chapter of Acts, that these Gentiles who were being saved had no obligation whatever to keep the Mosaic law. If you think that God's dealing now with the same way that he did with people in the earlier, in the dispensation preceding this one, then you will have no idea why Paul said to the Gentiles that he wrote to in Galatia, you don't need to be circumcised. Don't worry about the law. In fact, you're just going to get into trouble if you go that direction. You won't understand that at all. And those of you who are out there claiming and believing in your hearts that somehow God is pleased with you if you are living by the law or by the Ten Commandments or by the Sermon on the Mount, that somehow you are pleasing God and getting closer to him in that way, you're not going to understand it at all when I come along and say, look, it is by grace through faith apart from the works of the law. So you had better, those of you who are listening to me, you had better pay close attention to the book of Acts, because it is a transitional book. We are moving out of one dispensation into another. And I can assure you right now that these apostles that we are going to encounter in the first chapter of Acts had no idea whatever about the church. They did not know what God was going to do. There was no church at this time as we know it in today. The New Testament assembly had yet to be formed. For those of you who have problems with that, and some of you out there do, you're thinking in terms of the church is going clear back into the Old Testament and being composed of all the believers back there. And you have no idea, do you, why Jesus said in the 16th chapter of Matthew, after Peter's confession, upon this rock I will build my church. That is a statement of future. That's a future tense. It hadn't been built. He wasn't building it then, but he was going to build it. And what was he going to build it on? On the rock of Peter's confession. If you don't understand that, if you're thinking of the church as going back into the Old Testament time sometime, you do not understand Matthew 16. There's no way in the world you can explain that. These disciples knew nothing about the church. No one did except the Lord Jesus, and he didn't tell them. And we're going to see the church was not really known until a man named Paul comes along. The church was Paul's doctrine. And these guys are all Jewish here. In fact, I've said this before, here it comes again, the Lord Jesus was the last of the Old Testament prophets. It's exactly what he was. John the Baptist, of course, if you don't want to see the Lord Jesus as a prophet, he was, and he gave prophecy. But if you don't want to see him in that way, then John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. Now I want you to listen to me carefully. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testamental in nature. Every one of them involves events that occurred in Jerusalem at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, before there was any church, before the death of Jesus Christ and his burial and resurrection, his going back to glory and sending the Holy Spirit, before any of that had happened, and to usher in this new dispensation we're living in. Jesus repeatedly affirms in his statements in the Gospels when he was on this earth that he was sent to the nation of Israel and to the nation of Israel alone. If you don't believe that, go back and carefully read Matthew, Mark, and Luke in particular. And he makes it very clear. When he sent out the 70, do not go to any Gentile or any Samaritan. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus came at his first coming offering the kingdom, the gospel that he preached. And he says he's bringing the good news. The gospel that he was preaching is the gospel that Isaiah talked about in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. It was the gospel of the kingdom. He couldn't have been offering the gospel of Paul, because Paul's gospel, as he very carefully tells us, is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Jesus couldn't have been offering that gospel to Israel and not to any Jews, because he had not yet died. And he had not yet been buried and risen again. His gospel was the gospel of the kingdom to the nation of Israel. The king is here. It is here. The time promised by the Old Testament prophets has come. I am here and ready to reign. John the Baptist, the forerunner who came in the energy and power of Elijah, had come. Prepare the way of the Lord. Now, Israel rejected that, and there was a great mystery that was waiting to be unfolded and revealed. And that great mystery was that God would set aside Israel for a time, for a period, to send out the gospel of Paul to the churches, to the Gentiles, and that many Gentiles would come in. Now, this is all prophesied by Isaiah. When I say all prophesied, Isaiah himself did not see the church, but he did see that in him, that is Messiah, the Gentiles would trust. Okay? Now, this book of Acts, once again, very transitional. And let's just read a little bit of it. I've taken some time here to lay some groundwork. Let's read some of this book together, beginning with verse 1 in chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Theophilus is a word which simply means a friend of God. And if there was an individual by this name, maybe, I think there was, this may be a sort of a symbolic name aimed at any of those who were believers at that time. We know that the Gospel of Luke was written by the same individual who wrote the book of Acts, because the Gospel of Luke begins in this way, talking to old Theophilus. And here we have it again, and here the author talks of a former treatise. And that former treatise could not be anything other than the Gospel of Luke. And therefore, it is assumed, and I think correctly, that the author of the book of Acts was Luke. Now, Luke is a man who a lot of people will tell you was a Gentile. This is nonsense. There is not one shred of evidence in the scripture to suggest that Luke was anything other than a Jew, and there is much evidence in the scripture to suggest that that's exactly what he was. I don't know why anyone would think that Luke was a Gentile, other than perhaps his name, but that proves nothing. Apollos, who we have in the book of Acts later on, was a Jew from Alexandria. He had a Greek name. Paul had a Roman name that he had taken. The fact that, you know, you can talk about these names, it doesn't mean anything. Lots of Jews at this time had Greek names. Now, some say, well, yes, but Luke had this, you know, his grasp of the Greek language and the way that he wrote the Greek language. So, I don't care. Yes, he wrote Greek wonderfully well, didn't he? He was obviously out of the dispersion. Greek was probably his mother tongue, just as it was for Paul, who was born and raised in a Greek city, Tarsus, in what is now Turkey, on the south coast of Turkey. Doesn't mean that Luke was a Greek, but I want to tell you something. We know from the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, if you read that carefully, in fact, let's just read it. Just hold your place there. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Now, I want to show you something. Did I say 1 Corinthians 3? I mean Romans 3. Verse 1, and here's what Paul says. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Every man whose name is on a book of this Bible, New or Old Testament, was Jewish. And even those who are not named, you know, Chronicles and 1st, 2nd Kings and 1st, 2nd Samuel, all of the back in the Old Testament, these were nevertheless written by Jewish or at least by Hebrews. Jesus Christ in the fourth chapter of John said to the Samaritan woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. There are no Gentiles involved in this. And I've said this more than once to all of the Jews who are out there listening to me, and there are some. You need to understand something. This guy talking to you, I was nothing but just an ignorant Gentile. I didn't know anything about God. I may have thought I did, but I didn't until the Lord saved me and changed my life. We, the Gentiles, did not come to you with the gospel. You came to us with it. You're the one who came to us, offering us the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If we would but believe in Messiah Christ Jesus our Lord and accept the gospel that was being preached to us, his death, burial, and resurrection, you came to us. Thank you. I cannot thank you enough. Praise the Lord for that. But understand once again, this is a Jewish thing coming to us. It's not us coming back to you. Now, Luke is the author of this book, and he was a physician. We know this from what Paul says in 2 Timothy, at the end of 2 Timothy, he calls him the beloved physician. And we don't know anything about Luke, except we know that, other than that he is referred to at other times in the book of Acts here in kind of an offhanded way. Because Luke, in writing the book of Acts, at several points, talks and uses the second person or the first person plural, we. He says, we did this, that, and the other. And we know that Luke traveled with Paul. We know Paul refers to Luke at several points in his letters. And so we know that Luke, this Jewish physician, traveled with Paul and was involved, but he was not one of the 12 apostles. He wasn't one of the apostles, strictly speaking, at all. A lot of people are ignorant about that one. You know, they think of Luke and Paul as being in the upper room with Jesus. Oh, no. No, these guys came along later. So, here we have Luke writing. And he says that his first treatise dealt with everything that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, the Lord Jesus, Luke, once again, is not talking about himself here. He is not counting himself as an apostle, which he wasn't. But he knew the apostles. He knew them well. He was close to them. And he may or may not have known Jesus personally. I tend to think that he probably didn't. But he may have. I wouldn't get pushy about that one. But Jesus chose apostles. These apostles are named back in the writings of the Gospels, as we know them. And they are named, and there were 12 of them. And one of them betrayed him, and that was Judas Iscariot, betrayed the Lord Jesus and got himself kicked out and committed suicide, really. And another apostle was chosen, and that apostle who was chosen to fill Judas's place was Matthias, and I'll have more to say about that down at the end of the first chapter of Acts. And but there were 12 of them. Luke wasn't one of them. And the Lord Jesus, though, taught these men. He gave commandments. And we have in verse 3 something very important. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. Now, we're going to have to take this up next time because we're about out of time. But I want to just say this about this at this point. First, notice there were many infallible proofs of Jesus as being alive. He died. He was taken down from the cross dead. And he showed himself, he was raised up and showed himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. There was no doubt about this to any of these men. Second thing I want you to notice, he was alive and with these men 40 days on the earth after his resurrection before he went back to heaven. And he spent that time talking to them about the kingdom of God. Now, he didn't spend his time talking to them about the church. The church was yet in the future. It was about the kingdom of God that he talked to these men. Well, we'll have to take this up next time, so come back. I think you'll find a great blessing in it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.